Lord God, we just pray for our time spent during this time of Q&A, and we ask your blessing upon our gathering. We ask you to bless everything that is thought and said and asked and answered. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay.
We just wanted to have a time so that anyone having received pastor's letter that had questions or thoughts or wanted to actually communicate, you know, we could have some time to do that. So if you have something to say or question for pastor or anybody on the lead team or SPR, just kind of put your hand up and we'll go through this, okay?
Kevin, could we just go across here and introduce ourselves as either lead team or SPR?
I'm Diane Scott. I'm on the SPR.
I'm Ruth Smith. I'm lay pastor on SPR.
Jeff Pearson on the lead team. And we have Cheryl back there on the lead team.
Debbie
Averts.
Debbie. SPR.
All right. Anyone have a question? This is your chance.
Not necessarily a question, but a comment. I don't need a microphone. People can hear me.
Is he recording?
Oh, you're being recorded. The process for transitioning to a new pastor and interviews and all that, what is the process for that?
Okay. I can start and then others can join in. The process will begin on Monday night, actually, when the SPR meets. And when we met with our district superintendent a few weeks ago, he gave us permission to have lead team and SPR be a part of this process. A profile of our church and ministries has already been submitted to the district superintendent, and fortunately, he was here on December the 1st, first Sunday in December. That was a strategic move because we wanted him to see what was happening here at this church and understand the specific needs that we might have as a church and needing a pastoral leader that can take this vision and not miss a beat with it. So we're trusting in that. In our system, for those of you who may or may not understand or know, we're not a call system, which means we don't have three candidates to select from and then we vote for the one we like best. In our system, it's a consultative process, but it's appointed by the person is appointed by the bishop. The SPR will be in consultation with the district superintendent, and we do have a newly appointed district superintendent, who is Dawn Taylor Storm. Joe Tyson, who was with us a few weeks ago, will be on board until July 1st himself, and then Dawn Taylor Storm will take over as our new district superintendent. And we're kind of delighted by that because Dawn is 38 years old. And I think that being young in the ministry, she may have a little bit more knowledge and experience with transitions and transformation and all of that kind of things that's happening in many of our churches. So through the weeks, we'll be in consultation with the DS, talking about who we need. Any of you are welcome to talk to any of these folks up here and say, hey, this is what I think we need. So they can take that information in to those consultations. When the person is selected, the SPR and lead team will meet with that person in what is called a take-in. If there's a red flag, the team has all the right to say, we're really not sure this is a good fit for us. Hopefully that won't happen, but that is a caveat that you need to be aware of. So it's not forced upon us, but we're not a call system, and there's a difference.
Does that person have the opportunity after they meet with us and to say, well, do they get a red flag? Or
Yeah, that person has the same opportunity. I mean, they can meet with us and say, no way. You know, and that person can say that too. But they have to give missional reasons why they feel it's not a fit for them as well, and write a letter to the bishop and so forth. So.
Chris, do you have any follow-up? Or?
So the ultimate decision comes from who?
The bishop.
From the bishop, but like, can you have it? Do you have any say at all?
Yes. Yeah. And that when that candidate is appointed, that candidate will meet with the SPR and lead team.
Here.
Okay. Right. And there'll be an interview process. Not in the sense that we're going to vote yay or nay necessarily, but if through that process there's a red flag, if something just doesn't seem right. Our team has a right to say, District Superintendent, we need to back up and punt and talk about this before this is made an appointment here.
So you as the pastor now still earn, like, you can decide also, you have that decision, right?
No, I'm not.
But you're part of this team that interviews, right?
No.
Oh, you can't be a part of that.
No, I'm not a part of that particular part of the process. I'll be part of subsequent meetings together when we're talking about who we need here.
Isn't it very rare that an SPRC group says this is not a good fit? I was always taught that whoever they send, it's usually a given.
And that's true. That's the way it used to be, Mary. You're right.
Okay.
But it's changed somewhat in that there is a consultative process more than ever. So you're right. As lifelong Methodists, remember the time you were appointed to, and you had no input whatsoever. This is the way it was, and that's the way it is. So, but it's no longer that way. Praise God. It's
praise
no longer
God.
That way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, is it still so cut and dry that once you leave, you can't come back for a year? Or has that been changed? Can you come back hopefully?
Well, I've got to say this real carefully. It is still cut and dry that in our polity as United Methodists, we're not supposed to come back. Having said that, my desire would be that since this is a retirement and I'm not moving to another church, that there'll be some openness to that. I would desire to be a civilian here and be a part of this congregation. It's been a wonderful 10 years, and I definitely don't want to see the vision skip a beat, and if I can be a help as part of this congregation to keep that going, I want to be, but I want you to hear loud and clear that may ultimately not be my decision or Sarah's decision to do that, but I think, I don't want to speak for these guys, I think SPR and lead team are open to having that discussion with the DS. To say this is, I mean, we've been working outside the box for a long time. Why not continue, you know? But you have to understand, too, that, you know, a person coming in, it's kind of tough to come into a new place in the first place. And then if you're bombarded with, well, Tom didn't do it that way, Tom did it this way, you know, that's pretty tough. But if we have the right person who says, hey, I'm not intimidated by that whatsoever, we're colleagues together, and we want to work together in building this church. I'm very open to that, and I hope the DS will be too. I hope that helps.
The question I have is too, when you sent the profile in of the church, was it just the statistics, you know, how many members and what the group was, or what was that entailed?
Okay, I'm going to ask Cheryl to answer that because
the conference has a standard form for the church profile. What we did was we kind of filled in the blanks on that, on who we are, who our community is. We took statistics from Callan Township, from the Census Bureau. We also wrote several pages of a narrative of what we were looking for in the new pastor, and included all of that along with some job descriptions. I mean, we sent an entire packet over to the DS to be given to the cabinet for their review, in hopes that they can get, you know, a really good match to what our vision is, what our current staffing is, to move the vision forward. Does that answer?
My second question, I hope the conference, are they just limited into the candidates from the conference, or is this a national thing that anybody could apply for, due to the fact that there's, you know, we might have a limited number of candidates in there, but there might be nice, good candidates elsewhere. How's that work?
There is a possibility that this person could come from another conference around the nation. I think, again, my hope is that the DSO, that we're a peculiar animal, so to speak, and we're operating much differently than probably 95% of United Methodist churches are. And if there's a candidate around the nation saying, hey, I really understand transformation, I really understand visioning, I went through the ESIM audit, and this is the church for me, that's possible, but I think the statistics would say it's probably going to, the candidate will come out of our own conference, but it's possible. Is that fair? Yeah, the church moves slowly.
During this whole process, is there ever an interim minister appointed while they're trying, you know, say your time is come to retire and they don't have anyone? Do they appoint an interim at all?
That's always a possibility. But from what I gather from our present district superintendent, that's not in his thinking. Now, if looking over the candidates that are available, it could be that he could say maybe that would be a good idea for a 2-year or 1-year or 2-year interim. So that's possible, but not likely, I would think.
Actually, I've been a little out of the loop for the last couple of months, so I didn't know what this meeting was about until 10 minutes ago. So I apologize for that. And I just want to thank you, Pastor Tom, for the pastor you've been for the last 10 years.
Thank you.
It's probably been my best church experience in my life. But I just want, is there a time frame that this usually takes for this whole process to find a new pastor, or and will you be here until that happens?
The time frame, it could happen any time between now and July 1st. The hope is that since Thorndale is one of the growing churches in our conference, we'll definitely be on the top of the list in terms of need. I would find it really unlikely that we're going to go into April and May and not know yet. I would think we're probably going to know in February, March at the latest.
Just to clarify, Pastor is here through the end of June,
regardless of when
someone's appointed.
Right, right.
Right, so if we have someone coming in that isn't currently in a church, there's the potential that there would he or she would be able to shadow you for a while and kind of get to know the ropes. And it wouldn't be this cut and dry thing on July 1st.
Right. Thank you, Kim. And that's the hope. In the transition in my last church, I was there 13 years. Again, we worked outside the box. The newly appointed person was present at the church on a few occasions. We were going through a building program at the time, and the newly appointed pastor was there at our commitment dinner. Stood alongside of me. And so that's the hope here, that again, without sounding negative, and you know, Chuck made this comment, we got to get up to date with how we do things, and it's true in many ways in our system, and there is an attempt to do that, but we're still lagging behind. And one of the things that I believe is we haven't done transition really well. We've kept it like it's almost like a secret, and nobody needs to know, and all this kind of stuff. And my hope is that if this person's appointed in February, this person will be here on many different occasions to get to know you, get to know me, understand, you know, how we do things. Now, if that person's already presently serving a church, that may be a bit more difficult. So we have to understand that as well, schedule-wise. But we'll find venues by which we can make that happen, I'm sure. Okay, so that's, again, another negotiable point with our DS to say we want that to happen. We want to embrace this person, you know, whatever. So.